So one of my good friends told me, "Father, you need to watch this one episode in the series called The Black Mirror on Netflix. It will boggle your mind." And the episode name is Nosedive. And I actually watched it, and it's really disturbed me because it reflects on what our society is happening right now. So the episode begins with a very rosy, picture-perfect world where everybody is so nice, so rosy, so good, so beautiful, and so interactive with each other. But they all do that because they want to get a higher score on this social credit system that they have. Because the higher their score, which means the more privilege, the more perks they're gonna have. So this young lady, who is the main character, begin to learn how to fake to smile in front of the mirror, and she had to be nice to everyone. And then, of course, she had to post pictures and then videos that make everybody feel good. Because when they feel good, then they're gonna push like, and her score gonna go up. But if you do something wrong or something bad, then people will put a thumb down and then your score will go down. And so this young lady wanted to get into a perfect neighborhood. But in order to get into the neighborhood, she got to score more than 4.5 out of 5 stars. And was extremely hard. She went to 4.2. She was working hard for it. She was only missing 0.3. So she even go to a consultant in order to find ways to get up to 4.5. And it was hard. Then all of a sudden, one of her childhood friends reached out to her. She was a 4.7 and said that, "Would you please would you be my maid of honor and give the speech at the rehearsal?" And she calculated and then know that, well, if everybody going to like my speech, I'll be able to move up my point and I'll get what I want. But of course, things didn't go well, and then everything fell apart. And she ended up, through a series of misfortunes, she ended up about 2.5. And it's what miserable. And then one of the person that met her along the way was a truck driver. And she was very hesitant of getting into the truck because this woman was only scored about, I don't remember the exact score, was about 2.3 or something. And so she was looking down upon this person thinking, "Hey, I don't trust you." Because this whole social system is based on how good you present yourself, how good you are. Then this woman told her that, "Do you know what? I used to be a 4.72, but then I just got tired of being nice to everybody. Because it's what's fake. I didn't mean what I said. I only said in order to get what I wanted." Well, without telling you more into the story itself, I think it's so relatable now, isn't it? That's what our young people are being taught. Post things that are nice, like puppies videos, or whenever you go to a restaurant, post nice stuff so that you be liked and noticed by others. And we put on a fake show. A fake show for everybody else to like, except being our true self. Because we're so scared of being isolated, being pushed out, we want to be liked. And as a matter of fact, China, the Communist Party of China, is actually had begun a social credit system where they will track you and track your behaviors already. If you don't believe me, search for it. They already done that social credit system itself, where the higher you are, the more opportunities you're gonna have. But if the government deemed you to be unworthy, then you can no longer have a job. And as a matter of fact, perhaps what I'm saying about the Communist Party of China right now will get me in trouble, because in recent times, my blog, I get to see all of the stats, the page view and the information of my blog. And ever since I spoke out against the Chinese government a few weeks ago, there have been a consistent viewers from China that trying to track whether I'm saying good things about them or not. Forget about it. I ain't going to China anyway, you know? But to tell you, it's so disturbing, because this is how our society is. We're willing to go the extra mile to present ourselves in some way to be liked, to be accepted, except being who we are in Christ Jesus. And in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah today, we were told of God's own faithfulness. But before all of that, we were told that God wanted to form us like clay in the potter's hand. The problem with us is that, do we want God to form us as clay in His hands, or do we want to form God into what we want? That's the challenge. It's easier to form God into something that's appealing for us instead of allowing ourselves to be formed by God. Could it take a lot of humility to say, Lord, I'm letting go of everything. I want to be formed by You. I don't care about what society thinks of me. I want to know who I am in Your eyes and to grow at Your beloved son and daughter. And that leads us toward what St. Paul reminded us today in the second reading, that God is faithful. Do you believe that God is faithful? Do you believe in the faithfulness of God even when we cannot see, even when we cannot comprehend, even when we ourselves cannot appreciate His love for us? I got to say, I am very grateful that God is faithful, even at times when I was unfaithful to Him. Even at times when I wanted to live my own life. Even at times I doubted in my vocation, the calling He had given me. To be honest with you, I'm so grateful that God is faithful to me. He never gave up on me, even at times when I gave up on Him. That His grace continued to be at work, even at times when I did not love myself, when I hated myself, when I didn't want to be myself, that I wanted to present myself in another way. God is faithful even then. And He's giving us this whole season of Advent to practice our own faithfulness to Him by allowing ourselves to be formed, to be transformed, so that we can conform our lives to His divine will. Three words: to be formed in order to be transformed by His grace, in order to conform our lives with His will. It's hard. And that's why the first season of Advent reminds us of the virtue of hope. Hope continues to be grounded in the faithfulness of God and His love for us, even when we cannot see it. We are in a very hopeless society. But could we only live for this present moment, only live on the lights of others? But we have no deeper joy, no deeper hope, no deeper purpose. And that's why Advent, the first week of Advent, the first candle being lit, remind us that we need to have hope in Christ Jesus, who has always been faithful to us. Which leads us toward the gospel reading today. How many times did you hear the word watch? Watch. Be attentive. Are we watchful? Are we attentive to Jesus Christ? Are we recognizing his presence in our lives yet or not? Or are we so focused only in our own miseries, about what we don't have, what we are envious of other people, and the things we're jealous about, or the things we don't have, that we are no longer watchful or opening our eyes up to the reality that is there, the blessing that God has given to us? So I will leave with you the same story that I told during the Thanksgiving Day Mass, right? So I was running early that day, about 5:30, and I was in my hoodie. And by the time I finished my run, I came back, and it's my habit to check the blessing box to make sure that people don't throw junk or things in there. And so it was about 6:15, 6:20 a.m., and I was checking my box. But before I was approaching the blessing box itself, I saw an elderly lady on her bike. And she was taking some items out of the box. And I had my hoodie on, so of course I was incognito. No one recognized me. And she simply said, "Don't worry, young man, there's still some in there." That's humbled me. In the midst of many things that are happening right now to our country, it seems to be like self-worries, self-interest at the most. But this woman reminded me that even when we have little, there's still something in there for each and every one of us. The grace of God is still at work. So therefore, I would like to invite you, as we begin this season of Advent, practice the virtue of hope. And let your hope in Christ Jesus lift you up, and we become a source of hope for one another. We might not be able to solve all political and world problems, but we're able to lift each other up and say, "It's okay. I might not have the answer to your problem, but I still have something I can offer you. I have Jesus Christ, whom I love, and I want you to get to know him too."